Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled Epiphany, and it's the first part of a multi-part series, and the message is specifically entitled Who Has Witnessed? Based on Luke chapter 3 verses 15 through 17, verses 21 through 22, and Acts chapter 8 verses 14 through 17. Let us dive into the Word today. First, in Luke, everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than me, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Amen. And now from Acts. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. What an amazing time for me to start a message series on the Epiphany. Each year, on the first full weekend following New Year's Day, I co-lead a retreat known as The Search for Christian Maturity. During that retreat, we bring youth and young adults to a place of dropping their masks. You know what I mean by masks? You know, the things we figuratively put on to hide who we really are? Well, during that retreat, we bring the youth and young adults to a place of dropping those masks and coming face to face with Jesus Christ and his unconditional love for them. What happens as a result is that these kids find healing from their brokenness, and they find themselves in an unadulterated, profoundly real relationship with their Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean real and profound. These kids find spiritual maturity through the retreat and become active disciples of our Lord. This ministry was actually based off of a Catholic retreat by the same name, and the Reverend Beth Wally Mitchell, she had actually been given permission by the Catholic priest who was running it at the time to actually go on that retreat, and she was so moved by it that she asked permission to use it, use the name and whatnot, and the Catholic priest happened to be the right priest at the right time and gave her permission, and that was nearly 30 years ago. And this year after year, this retreat is bringing such hope to these candidates. Now, this year, we had 25 candidates, 25. Plus team and fourth day, fourth day is the Search alumni retreat, and it happens in the same place at the same time, and we integrate the two here and there so that the teams of years past or the candidates of years past can meet the candidates of today, and it's a wonderful thing. So total we had about 70 or so people, all jumping and shouting out their love for Jesus. Oh, and when I say jumping and shouting, I mean jumping and shouting. the Holy Spirit is uncontainable. Uncontainable. In essence, these youth and young adults end up having an epiphany that God's love isn't just for holy rollers and pew warmers and quote-unquote perfect people, so to speak, but that God's love is for them too, and that they are being invited by God to real purpose and significance. They're not the disciples of the future. They're the disciples of the present, and God is calling them now. It is a powerful aha moment, my friends. That is, ultimately, what the Epiphany season is all about. It is about the revelation of Jesus Christ to the whole world. The revelation that salvation through Jesus wasn't just for the Jews, but for the whole world. And we see this represented in the Bible by the Magi, who were Zoroastrian Persians, right? They were Zoroastrians from Persia, who came, meaning that they were not Jews, they were Gentiles, pagans, who came to visit baby Jesus, and Jesus' glory, Jesus' divinity was revealed even to them through the stars. Gentiles, like the Jews, were being invited to place their faith in Christ and be included in a new covenant with God so long as they chose to. In today's scriptures, we see two things going on. First, we see Jesus' baptism in Luke. Now, in Matthew, God's voice declares who Jesus is to the people witnessing it. "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." And all the crowds around are going, ooh, ah, right? Like, everybody's witnessing it. And the crowds are very much mentioned in Matthew. In Mark and Luke, however, God's voice declares it to Jesus alone. In Mark's gospel, it seems to be something only Jesus notices. "For it was worded that Jesus saw the heavens open up and saw a light descend upon him like a dove." But the crowds in Mark are not acknowledged at all. No mention of them. It just says that Jesus went out to be baptized, and as he came up out of the water, he saw the Holy Spirit. He saw the heavens open up and the light fall upon him or the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove. The crowds are not acknowledged at all. But in Luke, Luke tells us that Jesus was baptized following all the people who were gathered there. So the people got baptized first, and then when they were all done being baptized, Jesus got baptized. And they're witnessing it. And that the Holy Spirit physically descended upon him in bodily form. Quite different from Mark, right? The Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. And then God says to Jesus, "You are my beloved son. In you I find great joy." Now, whether the crowds heard that voice or Jesus just heard that voice, who knows? But they did witness the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus. Now, these discrepancies beg the question, who witnessed the work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ? Was it the crowds? Was it the religious leaders? Was it John the Baptist? Was it merely Jesus? Clearly, it was not merely Jesus, or we would not even be talking about him today, right? I mean, if Jesus was the only one who heard that voice and no one else witnessed anything, no one would have believed him. He would have gone down as just another crackpot who thinks, you know, who has a God complex. So clearly, it wasn't merely Jesus who witnessed. Clearly, John the Baptist recognized God and Jesus. Clearly, he did. He said he wasn't even worthy of untying Jesus' sandals. So clearly, John the Baptist recognized God in Jesus. And eventually, so did those who chose to follow him. Maybe some of the disciples were there among the crowds getting baptized. You know, get baptized one day, go back to work the next day. Hopefully your sins are forgiven. You move on with your life, right? And then Jesus shows up and says, hey, Simon, hey, John, hey, Andrew, hey, James, follow me. They could have been there. The Bible doesn't say one way or the other. Who knows? But the truth is that if you choose to follow Jesus just as the disciples did, if you choose to follow Jesus, if you come face to face with the Lord, you will witness to it. Amen? How can you not? If you have a life-altering, transformational encounter with God, how can that not completely and utterly change you? How can that not completely and utterly transform you? I'll tell you what, the disciples did. They came face to face with the Lord, and they were utterly transformed. Now, that transformation didn't happen completely in one shot overnight, but they were never, ever going to be the same again. Ever. They couldn't be. So I ask this again. And before I do, I want to stress that the disciples not only came into a relationship with God, into a direct face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Eventually, according to Acts, right, even rogue Samaria came to believe in Jesus Christ. Right? Luke tells us that in the Acts of the Apostles. By the way, Luke and the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles were all written by the same author. So through the disciples believing and through the disciples coming into an encounter with Jesus and believing in him, they were transformed, and their transformation led to them witnessing it to other places around the world, including Samaria, which was despised by the Jewish people. So even Samaria, the despised enemies of the Jews, even Samaria came to believe in Jesus and became brothers and sisters included into the covenant. This is amazing stuff. The Holy Spirit is uncontainable. So I ask this again. Who has witnessed? Who has witnessed the powerful presence and miraculous wonder of Jesus Christ? I can tell you who. 25 candidates and 35 team and Fourth Day members did this past weekend. And they, my friends, I can tell you this, they are beaming with the light of God. And they are now sharing their experience, their encounter with Christ, with their friends. I know this for a fact. I see this every year. I've seen it in my own daughters. I've seen it in any of the youth that I've brought to that retreat, any of the youth I've led on that retreat. They are beaming with the light of God. They have been transformed, and their lives will never, ever be the same again. Have you had such an encounter? Have you witnessed Christ in your life? I want you to reflect on that. Answer it honestly. If you haven't, open yourself up. Make yourself vulnerable and open yourself up to Jesus Christ and witness how God transforms you and sends you out as apostles in the world. Go to a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, one that welcomes you in and brings you into an encounter with Jesus. Go to a retreat that does that. Whatever you do, open scripture and meditate and pray on God's word. Whatever you do, come into a real relationship with Jesus. For the time has come, brothers and sisters, for the church, yourselves included, to witness and proclaim Christ in our communities once again. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you for this challenge to meet you, to really meet you and welcome you into our lives. Lord, perhaps some people here listening to this message have not welcomed you into their life yet. Maybe they're still searching for you. Maybe they're not searching at all. Whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray that they encounter you. Reveal yourself to them. Lord, I pray that people listening to this message will reflect and open themselves up to what you are doing in their lives. I pray that you will really and wholly present yourself to them and that they will be transformed. We know that you are a God capable of all things, and we trust wholly in you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, friends, thank you for tuning in to this message. Again, it's the first part of a multi-part series called Epiphany. And today's message was, Who Has Witnessed? I pray that you do witness the real presence of God in your life. I pray that you are transformed and that you are sent out as apostles into a world that is desperately in need of God's love and God's kingdom. So, with that said, I'd like to invite you to check out the message notes where you can click on any number of links. That'll lead you to this podcast website. It'll lead you to Life-Giving Water Devotions, which is a biweekly devotion website, which is mine and completely free to you. It also leads you to Party on Johncast, which is a rockin' podcast between myself and Reverend Sal Sermarco. So, and big news on that, we're about to record February's episode, and we have a special guest coming on, a musician, that's all I will say, very talented guy, and really looking forward to having him on our show. So stay tuned for February's episode. It's gonna rock. Anyway, in the meantime, I look forward to you tuning in next time. And remember, friends, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.